Well, God, as we've heard these words from Scripture, may we have ears, hearts open to hear from you. And Lord, may the words that I've prepared glorify your name, that we may know you better and be able to walk in faith better in the week ahead. In your name we pray. Amen. At university, I got really involved with the Christian Union. So that meant that I had lots of friends from different courses across the campuses. I went to King's College in London to study physiotherapy, and I was mainly based at Guy's campus by London Bridge with medics, dentists, pharmacists, physiotherapists. But occasionally we were at other sites. And one day I remember having lunch with my physio friends at St. Thomas's Hospital, and I saw one of my nursing friends from the Christian Union, because that's where they were mainly based for classes. I went over and said hello, and we probably had about a 5-minute conversation. I'm not actually sure what we talked about, but what I do remember is that when I went back and sat down with my physio friends, one of them turned to me and said, "That was a friend from Christian Union, wasn't it?" I was really struck by that, and it stuck with me, that there was obviously something that had happened in that interaction with my friend from the Christian Union that had really touched my physio friends. There was something different. I wish I'd asked what it was at the time, but I hadn't thought about that. But what I like to think was that there was something different because of Jesus, that there was something different in that interaction because of him, and that it pointed to him through that. See, in our everyday relationships with one another, we might not think about that, but that's what I want to focus on this morning. I'm not sure why the ultimate marriage is there, that's from last week. But what we're thinking about is everyday relationships. We don't have to have the screen on, I think that might distract us. So everyday relationships is going to be the focus this morning. See, our passage from Ephesians continues to explore these everyday relationships. We had the ultimate marriage from last week, and we're going to explore some more different relationships today. But the whole focus that Paul has on these everyday relationships is that it all comes out of our reverence for Christ. As we read in chapter 5, verse 21, "Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ." You see, our passage looks at this mutuality of relationships. Like last week with the husband and wife, there was a mutuality. One wasn't supposed to be overall authoritarian, dictatorship-like. There was a mutuality in their relationship, and the same is for today. See, our everyday relationships should, and I hope do, reflect our love for Jesus. In our passage today, Paul focuses on the parent-child relationship and the slave-master relationship. And in the passage, both children and slaves are given instructions on how, as Christians, they are to live. But the shocker is that the parents and masters are also given instructions that demonstrate, because they know Jesus, that their actions are to reflect him, so that they should remember that in Christ, they are all equal under his authority. So they're not to abuse their own authority. That's why in verse 4, if you've got your Bibles open, you can look, but in verse 4, parents are not to exasperate their children. And in verse 9, masters are not to threaten their slaves. See, the point, I think, of this letter, at this point in his letter, is that knowing Christ impacts our everyday relationships. It changes and challenges our behaviour. And it makes us, or makes me anyway, but I hope it makes us, ask the question, what do our everyday relationships say about us and our love for Jesus? So like my physio friend saw something in the interaction between me and the nurse from the Christian Union, what can others see in our interactions with each other? Although Paul does use these specific relationships of child, parent, slave, master, I think the principles can be the same for all of our everyday interactions. So I want to explore three things about our daily interactions, our everyday interactions with each other. I want to think about how can they be honouring for Christ, how can they be nurturing in Christ, and how can we be working as for Christ. So that's three things: honouring for Christ, nurturing in Christ, and working as for Christ. So firstly, everyday relationships that are honouring for Christ. So we read at the beginning of chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's a sense in the phrase, it is right, that expresses an idea that as followers of Jesus, even us children, I said us children, children at heart maybe, but even as children, there is a responsibility to live the way of Jesus. Children, you're not the future, you're now. You're here with us. And so there's that sense of, as Christians, whether we're young, whether we're old, we all have that responsibility as part of the family of God. And the responsibility to live the way of Jesus in these verses is saying, obey your parents. But it's put into a context of their relationship with Jesus. They are to obey them in the Lord, it says. Or we could rephrase it and say, because of the Lord, because of Jesus. The sort of sense of the word obey here is really similar to the word submit. So that sense of submitting, obeying, but well, like we said, not in a dictatorship type of submission, but in a sense that they are doing it for Christ as part of their responsibility as Christians. So here Paul is giving children equal status in the body of believers. And this status is further emphasized when Paul quotes from the Ten Commandments. He quotes from them in Deuteronomy rather than Exodus. But he says, honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. See, it was one of the commandments that was given to Moses and the Israelites in the Old Testament. And God gave these commandments to his children to mark them out as different, to live a different way to the world around them. You see, when Paul included it in this part of the letter, he's showing that the children who've come to know Jesus are part of God's family, that they are different and they're living a different way. He sort of uses it and says it has this promise of long life. But that's not the important focus. The important focus is the instruction to honour. I read that to honour means to prize highly, to care for, to show respect for, and obey. Now, it's really important to say that relationships between children and parents are not always easy. Some have caused great pain. And so for some of us, it might be really hard to hear that instruction to prize parents highly and show respect when we may have been wronged badly. But one answer is that the call for children to honour, to show respect, to obey, is supposed to be reciprocated by the parents by being called to not exasperate their children. As we read in verse 4, parents, do not exasperate your children. In some versions, this phrase, do not exasperate your children, is translated as do not anger your children. And this word anger is the same that was used further back in the letter, earlier on, in chapter 4, verse 26. And it was this anger about, do not let the sun go down on your anger. That sense that the anger that could cause bitterness and could cause sin to creep into our relationships, the anger that can cause relationship breakdown. That's the anger that Paul, I think, is referring to. And so the call for children to honour their parents is supposed to be met by their parents, not causing bitterness or anger or relationship breakdown. It's important to note, isn't it, that relationships can be very far from God's ideal. We want to acknowledge that. But it's good for us to try. And God wants us to honour one another in our everyday relationships in the same way that we would honour Jesus. See, the context here might be parent and child, but the principles, as I've said, run through all of our everyday relationships. The honouring of others in our everyday relationships, in turn, shows honour for Jesus, honouring for Christ. I like to think that that's what my physio colleague saw in my relationship with the nurse from the Christian Union. But I wonder, how do we honour Christ in our relationships with each other? How do we prize each other highly, care for each other, respect each other? And not just those that we have natural relationships with in the church. There's some that probably we click with instantly and are really firm friends and naturally have things in common. But we're part of a community, and so all of us, hopefully, would be showing honour and respect to each other. Even those of us that might rub each other up the wrong way, and I possibly rub some of you up the wrong way, I don't know, it's new, isn't it? But we might get to that point. But we're still called to honour and respect and prize highly. So I wonder what we could do. Would that involve us visiting each other, going for coffee? Would that involve offering to help clean someone's house or do a bit of cooking for somebody that's really struggling? How can we show our honour for Christ in our everyday relationships with each other? I've been shown that through people helping me garden, lending me equipment, all sorts of things. And I really think that's showing God in our everyday relationship. So how can we honour Christ in our everyday relationships? Our second focus for our everyday relationships is, how are they nurturing in Christ? We've looked at honouring for Christ, but how can they be nurturing in Christ? In verse 4, as well as told not to anger their children, parents are also instructed to bring their children up in training and instruction of the Lord. In some translations, the phrase training and instruction is translated as nurture. See, earlier in Ephesians, Paul talks about growing in spiritual maturity, doesn't he, if we remember? And there's some of that growth is the responsibility of the Christian parent. In the context of the day, it was the fathers that had the authority and obligation to raise the household. So that's why it says fathers in the passage. But I think it's safe to apply the principles to both fathers and mothers. In fact, it's also, I think, important to note that some of us here, myself included, haven't been blessed with our own biological children. But as church is often described as the family of Christ, I still have a responsibility of nurturing. There are still nurturing roles that we can fulfill, whether we've been blessed with children or not. It is the principle here of nurturing in Christ that is important for us to grasp. In our everyday relationships, what do we do in nurturing one another? I was blessed with growing up in a very nurturing house. Jesus was part of our household from my earliest memory. Mum and I read the Bible together, we prayed together, we'd randomly sing songs of praise in the car, washing up. I was taught about Jesus by my mum modelling a life with Jesus. I wonder what we do in our households to nurture the faith of our children or our grandchildren or the children that are in our lives through our friends. I wonder also, what do we do in our church for those that are young in faith? See, I don't know if it's just talking about children in terms of age, but I think we could also maybe extrapolate that to think about children that are spiritual, so adults that maybe are young in faith or new to faith. How can we, as members of the church here at St. Luke's, as members of the body of Christ, how can we be nurturing our children, our grandchildren, and those young in faith? I wonder, are we seen praying, reading our Bible, spending time with God? Do we talk about faith with each other? There is a bit of a sentiment, isn't there, in our modern era, that we don't want to put our children off faith by ramming religion down their throats. And I wouldn't want to do that either, but I think there's a difference between ramming it down their throats and modelling it in our lives. I attended a seminar recently held by an organisation called Parenting for Faith. They're a great organisation. Do check their website out. There's lots of resources and materials. And they were saying that there is a difference between ramming faith into our children and letting them absorb from our faith, from our living out of our Christian life. A few weeks ago, I talked about how when I was a little girl, I would copy my mum with her ironing board. And actually, that was the same with faith. I saw my mum read her Bible. I saw her have conversations with Jesus. And so I modelled that too. I found her a role model for not just ironing, although to be fair, I don't think I've ironed anything in a long time. But it's lucky I've prayed, so that's okay. But actually in faith, following her example, I was exposed to a loving relationship with Jesus, and I think we can do that for those around us in our everyday relationships. Are we having each other... Are we having each other over for coffee? And in those conversations, are we sharing God? I think we are. I've experienced that myself. But can we do that more often? Can we nurture faith within one another? Can we grow in spiritual maturity together? How are we nurturing in our relationships? Maybe God is speaking to us about that this morning, how we can grow as a church in this area of nurturing. And it's great that next week, I think, our kids groups are going to start back. And so that's a great way of nurturing our children in faith. But let's think and pray and ask God, what does he want us to do in this area of nurturing each other and as a community here at St. Luke's? So we've looked at how, in our everyday relationships, are we honouring for Christ. We've looked at how are we nurturing in Christ. And then we turn to our final relationship and think about how are we working as for Christ. And here Paul turns to the slave-master relationship. I'm not sure many of us in the situation where we are slaves or we are masters, but the principles are the same in our work, whether that is paid or voluntary, whether that is work in the sense of we're retired and we're at home, there might be things that we volunteer for. How do we interact with those around us in those situations, in those everyday relationships? So let's look a little bit more. Paul writes in verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. And I think that's the key verse from this section. See, in verse 5-9, there's a sense here that the Christian slaves and Christian masters are reminded that with Christ, there is no difference between them. Whether slave or free, as he writes in verse 8, both groups are equal in Christ. In verse 9, we read, there is no favoritism. And therefore, how masters treat their slaves and how slaves work for their masters should reflect that fact. And in these working relationships, it is as if both are working for Christ. I think we do need to briefly touch on the subject of slaves, because I think to our modern minds, slavery is associated with the horrors of slavery in the 19th century, with racism, brutality, and the horrors that exist. And it's not to say that those horrors didn't exist at this time, but actually slavery in Paul's day in the ancient world was part of the inbuilt structure of society. And actually some slaves, and those particularly that were living in sort of urban town environments, were much better off than even free people. See, they had housing, clothes, food. Some slaves even actually owned their own slaves and had their own money. Many were included in and seen as part of the family. So while that wasn't the case for all, for the majority, and for those that are being addressed in this letter, the slaves were living a fairly comfortable life, but there was still that relationship with their master. And see, not all masters were treating their slaves well, as we look at in the next section of don't threaten your slaves. But some commentators believe that particularly the address to the slaves in this letter, were to Christian slaves whose masters didn't know Jesus yet, who didn't know him personally. And so Paul is encouraging them to work for their masters as if they are Christ. I imagine that must be a powerful witness to those masters. If we're working and we might not have bosses that are particularly nice, how do we react to that? We don't want to be doormats, but how do we love them and work as if for Christ? Something I think for us to think about. See, the masters in these verses are reminded that whilst they might have a kind of status in their earthly role, like the husband from last week, but actually as Christians, now they have to submit ultimately to Jesus. They're responsible to him for how they treat others, as are we in our work environments. See, the work of being a slave and a Christian, slave owner, sorry, being the master and a Christian, means seeing the slave as an equal in Christ. So I wonder, how do we view our work? Do we skip in on a Monday morning full of the joys of spring? Or is it a bit of a trudge? Do we get bogged down in the everyday relationships? Are there people in our workplace we don't particularly get on with? How can we work as for Christ? If we're in management, how do we treat our employees or those lower down in the chain? Are we working as for Christ, living our life out for him in the everyday? See, I think this passage encourages us to look at our everyday relationships out of reverence for Christ. So they should be honouring as Christ, where we prize each other highly, care for one another, show respect. They should be nurturing in Christ, where we create everyday relationships that encourage an increase in knowledge about Jesus, in an atmosphere that reflects his love. And they should be working as for Christ, serving wholeheartedly in whatever we do, as if we're serving the Lord. Because in Jesus, we are all equally loved. So let's go about our everyday relationships, living for him and as him. That, like my physio colleague at uni, others would see Jesus through our everyday relationships with each other. Amen.